Genesis 4, verses 1 through 5. Let us take heed of our hearts and our minds, how we listen to these words, for they are the word of God. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from Yahweh. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to Yahweh. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And Yahweh respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Okay, so Victoria, what happened when Adam knew his wife?
She considered and bore a son.
Okay, she conceived and bore a son. Whom did she know had, Ezekiel, whom did she know had given her the son?
Jesus.
That's right, Jesus, the Lord. She says, I have acquired a man from Yahweh. It's one of the wonderful things when Jesus comes and he says, like we even heard yesterday in the gospel reading, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. The reason we will not die in our sins is because we believe that Jesus is I am. That Jesus is Yahweh. And the Lord God is the one who gave her the Son, and she knew that. And not only is this an expression that she knows that, it's also an expression of faith in God's promise. Just like, remember when Adam heard that his wife was going to be mother of all the living, he decided to call her name what, Beatrice?
Life.
And that name that means life is Eve. So that was Adam's way of expressing, or that was one way that Adam expressed, that he believed God's promise of the one who would crush the serpent's head, the one who would save them from the death that they received. That they were to receive, that they deserved. Sorry, not receive. Okay, they would not receive it. Now, Eve, when she bears a son, she knows that the Lord gave her that son. So she is expressing faith in the promise when she says that she's acquired a man from Yahweh. Then she bore again, this time, verse 2. Who was born second, John?
Abel.
So now she has two sons. What job did Abel have, Carissa?
He was a keeper of sheep.
What job did Cain have, Emmett?
He's a tiller of the ground.
Farmer. Cassidy, when did Cain bring an offering?
When it came to pass.
When it came to pass. Where's that?
In the course of time, or whatever.
Didn't you say in the course of time?
In the process of time.
It's paraphrastically translated. Do you not have a footnote that gives you the literal translation?
Right, no, I don't.
You sound like a puppy.
Not in this Bible.
Okay, Victoria.
After all was done.
Yeah, after everything else that he wanted to do with the fruit of the ground was done. Literally, verse 3 says, at the end of days. Okay. What kind of offering, we'll give you another one, Cass. What kind of offering did Abel bring?
Of the first and of the fat.
Yeah, the first and the best. The firstborn and the fat, which means the best. Which, sadly, in our culture, we have to explain that that's the best. but yeah, the first and the best. Who respected Abel and his offering, Ezekiel? No, Satan did not respect Abel and his offering. That was an Ezekiel question that was, should have been
weird.
Who was glad about
Abel's
and thought it was good? Who thought Abel's offering was good?
Jesus.
That's right. The Lord respected Abel and his offering. How did the Lord respond to Cain and his offering? No, you already go. John?
Oh, I think he was saying.
Right. I think he didn't know the word respect.
No, Ezekiel says he heard you say, who respected Cain's offering?
Oh, he got Cain and Abel mixed up. You know, it's interesting, the first offering that's mentioned is Abel's. Okay. Beatrice, how did Cain respond when he learned that the Lord did not respect him and his offering?
He was very angry.
And what else, Krissa?
His countenance fell.
His countenance fell. His face fell. So you can see him hunching his shoulders and having that sullen face. Okay, so we see Eve express faith, and that's a reminder, because we just had Adam express faith, we just had Eve express faith, so that's a reminder that these boys are both covenant children. All of you children have a daddy who expresses faith, and a mommy who expresses faith. So you are, you came into a family, a household that is in a similar situation. So it is with, you know, it's easier, I think, in this passage even than most, for you to read it with an interest for yourself and your own soul, your own situation. We see Cain showing that he is, what did 1 John 3 say about Cain? That he is of whom is Cain, Ezekiel? Okay, that was his work. He was a tiller of the ground. To whom did Cain belong? Did Cain belong to the Lord? Was he seed of the woman? Or what was he?
Seed of the man.
Not seed of the man. Although, it is going to refer to the seed of the serpent, okay, as the daughters of men in chapter 6, when we get there. But Cain was of whom, Victoria?
Of the devil?
He was of the devil, of the evil one, 1 John 3:12 tells us. And we see some of the differences between those who are of the devil and those who are the seed of the woman or belong to the Lord, and those who belong to Satan and those who belong to the Lord. One of the differences is that Cain was half-hearted towards God. Notice that Cain brings an offering to Yahweh. Okay, he knows that he is supposed to worship. He knows whom he is to worship, just like you guys. You guys know that you ought to worship, and you will know that you ought to worship the one living and true God. You know that you ought to bring him an offering of yourself and give him the best parts of your day and so forth, even from yesterday's sermon. Cain knew what he should do. But he does it half-heartedly. Abel, of course, brings the first and the best. Another thing that we see in Cain that is evidence of him being seed of the serpent, being of the evil one, is when he is very angry and his countenance falls. Ezekiel, take that off your face. When you respond poorly to good biblical correction, whether from the scripture in your time with the Lord, or from a sermon, or from your parents, or from an elder, when you, or even from a brother or sister who's giving you a brotherly or sisterly rebuke, when you respond poorly to good biblical correction, you know, that should be a warning sign to you. Doesn't mean that you're going to hell. It does mean that you deserve hell. But if that is your normal way of responding, and especially if you think you're justified in it, that's a warning. You say, that looks like Cain. But remember, who can tell me? Maybe it's better if you tell me. Those are some of the differences between Cain and Abel. How did those differences come about? What does Hebrews tell us about how it was that Cain offered a more Ezekiel's mistake. How is it that Hebrews tells us that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain? Who could tell me? Emmett.
It was of the first and it was of the fat.
Okay, that's what was more excellent about it. How did he come to offer one that was more excellent? Yes, Carissa. Through faith. And Hebrews had just defined faith how 3 verses earlier in chapter 11 and verse 1. The substance of, or evidence, I get the two flipped sometimes. I think it's the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. So it was especially faith in what was he hoping for? What had been promised and had not come yet? So what question? With a who answer. Okay. Who had been promised and had not come yet?
Jesus.
Okay. So we see the differences that tell us, well, I want to be on the right side of these differences, especially because the last difference is Cain goes to hell and Abel is perfectly blessed forever. Okay, so we see the differences and we say, I'd like to be on the able side of those differences. But we can't produce the differences ourselves. That would be the mistake, right? If we say, oh, well, the way to become like Abel is just offer God the first and best. By which I mean sincerely desire, work hard at, and succeed at offering God the first and best. But Hebrews 11:4 says, no, that's not how he came to offer God the first and best. He came to offer God the first and best through faith in Jesus Christ. And so, yes, there's a lesson here for children of moms who know that you are a gift from the Lord. And I know your mom often tells you that you are a gift from the Lord. And that is an expression of faith in the Lord. But that was true for Cain and Abel. So this is a passage that really underlines for you, our dear children, how important it is for each of you individually, you yourself, to believe in Jesus Christ, to have your hope in him, as Hebrews 11:1-4 highlights that is the difference. That is what made the differences between Abel and Cain. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this portion of your word. We know, Lord, all of your word applies to our lives. And I thank you for these dear children who are a gift from you, and that you have set your mark upon them in baptism and laid claim to them and said, mine. We do fear for what would happen if they did not come to faith in Christ. And so with confidence in your promise and using the means that you have appointed by which to bring faith, we pray that you would bless your word, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, that you would bless this hearing of your word to them, that you would work faith in them, and that you would produce in them hearts that love to give you the first and the best. Hearts that are soft and don't become angry and sullen when they are corrected. Please, Lord, do this not only for these children, but do it for their parents, who would love very much for you to grow us in faith, who would love very much for you to grow us in offering you the first and the best, who would love very much for you to grow us in soft-heartedness toward correction. So grant us the ministry of your Spirit, to bless this word to us, we pray in Jesus' name. And your children here say,
amen.
Amen.